I'd like for us to think about from the manger to the cross, at this time when all the people are worshiping around the manger where this little baby was born. His life and his death is the only hope you and me have. To be saved, we'll have to follow him from the manger to the cross. Let me beg each one of you listening to me this morning that you take time out during this Christmas time and start at the manger, which we hear so many songs about and everything at Christmas time, and follow his life on down through the Gospels to his death upon the cross of Calvary. There was no salvation at the manger. All people worship around the manger. There's no laws, no responsibility, no claims at the manger. But it's at the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ spilled his blood and made the atonement for the sins of the human race. It's there that only that we can find hope beyond the grave. So Isaiah, some 600 years before Christ was born, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he told about his life and his death and him coming into the world in this 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And I hope you'll take time to read this and then go on through the Gospels and read the story of this, the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, and his death when he came into the world. Here's what Isaiah, the pre-picture of his life and his death that he made some 600 years before Christ was born, before he came in the world. Get your Bible and study this good during this Christmas season. The 53rd chapter, it said, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It was his word and the things he said that separated him from all men that walked upon the face of the earth." Listen to the third verse of what Isaiah said. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised when he lived here upon this earth, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He's talking about that little baby that was born in the manger here. "All we like sheep are gone astray. The whole human race loved darkness better than light. The Lord Jesus Christ came that light into the world. And the Bible said men loved darkness better than they did the light that the Lord Jesus Christ brought into the world." He said, "We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, to the cross of Calvary. And as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, the Lord God allowed his Son to be offered for sin upon the cross of Calvary. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide a portion with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions. He bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What a beautiful picture Isaiah pictures here of the one that would come and make the atonement for our souls upon the cross of Calvary. And I'd like to talk to you about the cross of Calvary this morning, because that's the only hope for a man being justified before a holy God. That's the only place that we can come and be justified before a holy God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born into the world, the people was walking in darkness. And a great light came into the world when the Lord was born yonder in Bethlehem. Don't you wonder why all the world didn't follow after him? But the Bible said men love darkness better than they did the light that came in the world, because their deeds were evil. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that sheltering blood this morning that was spilled yonder on Calvary's cross. Back in the Old Testament, when God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, a little heaven here on this earth, he gave him one commandment. He commanded him, he said, "The day you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die." Adam and Eve was deceived by Satan and rebelled against God and his government, and did eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God came down. Adam and Eve run and hid. There's no wonder they run and hid, because God came down looking for their blood, because he had promised them the day that they eat, they would surely die. But when Adam and Eve humbled themselves before God and come up and confessed that they had sinned and rebelled against God, God substituted some animal's blood instead of Adam and Eve's blood. And all through the Bible, God will either get your blood or the blood of a substitute. I wonder why in this day that we're living in, why so many people, even preachers, don't mention the blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible said there is no remission of sin. They never has been from the time of the Garden of Eden down to now. All through the Old Testament, the only way for a sinner to be justified before a holy God, from Adam on down to Moses, was to bring some animal to a little rock altar and confess his sins over that little animal and kill that animal and watch him die and spill his blood instead of his blood. It's the only way that a sinner can be justified before a holy God. It's the blood, the Bible said, that makes atonement for the soul. We'll come on down to the Passover in Egypt. Moses told them there's a death angel going to pass over at midnight. And that angel was going to be looking for blood of every firstborn in all the land. Their only hope was to find a lamb without spot and without blemish, and to substitute that animal's blood for their blood. They had to kill that animal that evening and watch that little animal kick and die and catch his blood and put it upon over the doors and over the sideposts. Was the only hope they had of escaping the death angel was going to come over, because he was coming looking for blood. In the days when God dwelt in the tabernacle in the wilderness, after it was established, in the Holy of Holies, God's dwelling place there, the only way a sinner could be justified before God, when he become guilty and violated God's laws, was to lead some little animal without spot or without blemish and bring him up to the door of the tabernacle, to the altar there. And the priest would go between him and God to mediate his case before God. The priest would slay this little innocent animal there before the tabernacle and before God that dwelt back in the Holy of Holies. And he would have to confess his sins over this little animal. He'd have to watch the priest kill this little animal and offer his blood instead of his blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says over and over again, there's no forgiveness. And that priest had power to proclaim this sinner forgiven, and his conscience would be quiet, and he'd be forgiven on the basis of that shed blood of that innocent animal, which was a substitute for the sinner's blood. It was a line of blood in the Bible from Adam to Christ. A lot of these skeptics in our days and unbelievers, I've heard them say they didn't want that slaughterhouse religion of the Old Testament. But it was out the shedding of blood and them accepting the blood of the atonement of the cross, they'll die and go to hell without any hope. The Bible said that this baby that was born and laid in this manger was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus came into the world. He was born to die, to live a sinless life. And death had no claims upon him. The Lord swore and will not repent. He said, "Thou art a priest forever at the order of Melchizedek." Abraham in the Old Testament paid tithe to Melchizedek, who was a priest, and he was an eternal priest. Let me read you what the Bible says about Melchizedek. He said he's without a mother, without father, without a beginning or ending of days. The Lord Jesus Christ life didn't start when he was born in a manger, but he is from all eternity. He came down and was born of a virgin and lived and died on the cross of Calvary to make the atonement for the soul. In his life, no man took his life from him. He laid down his life upon the cross to make this atonement, because death, sin brings death, and he didn't have no sin. Death had no claims upon him. But he laid down his life, his innocent life, and he took it over again. And when he did this, the world was really in darkness. He accused them up at the temple of being a den of thieves, a house. His temple was not a house of prayer, but it was a den of thieves. Imitation religion was everywhere. It's wonderful to think that 1900 years before you and me was born, yonder on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary to satisfy the justice of God, because God had said, all souls are mine, the souls of sin that shall die. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, a substitute for all the sinners who will flee behind his blood to find forgiveness and pardon and shelter and refuge, like the people did when death's angel came over Egypt. They had to be behind the blood for refuge and shelter from the wrath of God and from death's angels. The Bible plainly states that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You will come to judge. God's going to come in judgment some of these days. And he's going to be looking, if you're a sinner, for your blood or for the blood of a substitute. Let me beg you now, if you're not in the right relationship with God and fled behind that blood, the atonement on the cross, flee to the Lord now and find refuge behind his blood. Ask for mercy and pardon. The Lord will give you his name, which is a Christian, and he'll take your name. Yonder, ain't that wonderful to think he would die in our place and take our name and set us on the other side of the cross of Calvary, set us free from sin, and create within us a new nature and a new heart, and set us in that narrow way that leads to our eternal home. But as I bring this to a close, back in the Old Testament, when you fled into the city of refuge, you had to stay in that city. And when death angel was coming, Moses told him, said, you go in behind that blood, don't you come out. So flee to the cross of Calvary if you're not saved, and find refuge and shelter behind the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary's cross, or you will be eternally lost throughout all the eternal ages. My, it's wonderful to think the Lord not only redeemed us on the cross of Calvary, but he is our high priest yonder, representing us before God as he sits there on the right hand of his Father, making intercession for his people. My, what a wonderful thing it is to have the hope of the shelter of the blood of this little baby that was born in Bethlehem to shelter us, and we can find refuge underneath his everlasting arms for time and for all eternity. So my prayer for you as I bring this to close, flee to this shelter of